2 years out from accepting Christ as your personal Savior, and then 5 years, and then 10 years, and I don't even want to tell you how many years I've been stretching out there, but it was the first years were years that influenced a lot of people, but especially myself. And I think it's important that we need to know God. And when you know God, things change. For you especially, I mean, I remember everyone was watching and waiting for you to fall. And when it didn't happen, then they'd say, well, he's gone, or she's gone. And I think how important it is to be born again of the Spirit of God. That's what he said, if you would be born again. And so we should talk to our kids. If you haven't talked with your child, it's interesting. You'd say, well, they're all born again. Well, maybe you have to explain it again and again and again until sometimes commitment is 10, 11, 12, where they can really catch the fact that they've been born again. And thinking about the miracle-working power of God, we have to realize that we serve a God that does miracles in the marketplace, in our lives, in our households, with our children, with each other, as individuals that are working and out relationships in every aspect. Love your sons, love your daughters. You know, it's not so difficult, except it's pretty difficult, because you can't do it on your own. You have to say, God, show me what love really is. And so I think our challenge is, again, if you know your God, then when you know your God, you know your God. You know, Marky, I really appreciate you memorizing that scripture. And when you spoke that scripture today, it was just so powerful. It's funny about speaking the word, and you'd say, well, you know, I just memorized a bunch of words. No, it was a real deal. And it was anointed, and God's word is anointed, and he'll continue to change us as we embrace the knowing of who he is and his word. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. We have an opportunity to sow into our church and into the local area as far as community church is concerned. So if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to community church. God bless you in your giving. And so we'll go from there. Jeff, thank you very much. Would you bring it? We'll bring it. You bring it and we'll bring it, buddy. All right. Do want to say I appreciate everyone that has shared over the last 6 months, 8 months, a year. I really appreciate that. You make it a lot easier when we're a many-membered body. And it's just not one person, but it's many people that are working and laboring in the ministry. So I appreciate that. Wanted to tell you that. In Jesus' name. Do want to again say on the 7th of June, Dave Wagner is going to be here for one night, and that'll be a Monday night. And then he's going to travel to Detroit Lakes for 3 nights tent meetings on the concert ground that we've had the Hope Fest. And so they're going to be there for 3 nights, Dave and the gang. And then David is going out to Ashby and working with them. And then he's working with another church from right around Ashby area. So we can pray about that. But especially you coming and saying, hey, you know what? I bet you God has something to impart to me. And I just remember going to church, and My deal was, Lord, give me a word for the church today. And you know, that's the way we should wake up in a Sunday morning. God, use me to give a word to change someone's life. And I think that's a real challenge in these days ahead, We went through COVID-19, and I believe that the masks are off now and all of this stuff and that. But does it really make any difference until we just say, God, you're in control? And he is in control. And you notice I'm not wearing a mask. Didn't exactly make a big practice of that in church. They did insist in other areas. And I didn't fight them. I just went and put a mask on, went in and did the deal. Didn't rob them because I had a mask on. But, so our thoughts this season of time is, what's God doing for this next season of time? What is he going to do in my life, in my family's life, in my individuals' lives that I care so much for? What is God going to do? Because if God does it, then it's going to be a good thing, right? And we're working diligently on starting Bible colleges in many different places. And I just want to say that the community church is the community church, but they oversee really all of the other churches. You're kind of the first area. And so when we have a conference in the fall, or we had a Zoom conference, it's this church that hosts the presence of God, hosts the churches that we're dealing with in different countries and nations and other people group. And they look to us heavier than you think. They're looking for community church. They're looking for the leadership. And so that's why we're working very diligently. And Pastor Dave is going to be sharing. I call him Apostolic Prophetic Dave is going to be sharing whatever. He's going to be sharing today how we're interested in different places. But that doesn't take away any interest in the community church. In fact, it adds a lot of interest, because it puts a lot of pressure on all of us to perform to a higher level, because they're watching us and saying, okay, that's what we're going to be doing, all right? All right. Well, thank you, Praise and Worship Team. Appreciate you so very much. Good job. Yeah. I don't know if they even... a good job. I don't know. It was a job. You just were anointed. And that makes a difference. Brother?
Yeah. I just wanted to give a little bit of a report on the media. We do have a display now, and so where we're at right now, we're at about a little bit over $2,500. So what we're really looking for at this point is purchasing some cameras. Yeah. And so a camera, like with all the cords and everything, one camera's roughly around $1,500. So that's Jeremy and his artwork. Now, he will have to explain this to you, because it is in Jeremy's language. But he did an amazing job. Yeah. Yep. So, like he said, help us reach the world. And that's what that'll do for us, not just as a church, but as individuals. So I just wanted to give you a report. And so we're looking this month to raise enough money. So if we get three, we'll buy two cameras. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to go for four cameras, and then we're going to start putting this all together. And it's really going to truly be amazing. But just thank you for what you've given, and continue to pray about it. And I believe God's going to, as you pray about it, I believe God's going to give you supernatural resources for such a time as this.
Yes.
For where we're at as a church, as in a sense, as a church worldwide. God is doing something new, and we can see it. COVID wasn't... God was refocusing some things. He just used COVID. So just want to encourage you to pray about it, and we're just believing that this is going to come quickly, that we can start stepping into it, and we'll start seeing the fruits of it shortly. We already are, but I mean, it's just amazing. So thank you, Jeremy, again, for everything that you do. We really appreciate you. And just thank you for everything. And we just appreciate what you do. We do as a church. Thank you that all that you give. But this is a season we're going to start to really sow into this house.
Amen.
And God is going to grow. You know, not just the things we have, but even bodies in this church. God's really starting to renew and just refocus some things.
Amen.
So.
All right. All right. I would just like to, go ahead. Good stuff. I would like to just say, Danny, if you could get a board with a piece of paper saying pledges towards, we do have that. Okay. Can we, is it on there?
Yep, everything's right there.
Okay, can we put it on a board and pass it around? I want to put it on a board because I haven't signed anything, and I look over there, and for some reason, I never get there to sign anything. And it's something about kind of a commitment in your mindset. Let me see if this one's going to be. I qualify it on my own thought. Okay, I have one of these. I brought it home. I didn't put anything down on it. Okay. I pledge so many dollars towards the media project, and I will have my pledge in by. Okay. So if you're looking at a 2-month deal, you know, like let's say you're thinking about $1,000. So in 2 months, that means you're going to have to come up with $500 that God is going to provide above and beyond. And he will. But without that type of commitment, we just usually keep on. And I don't want to keep on. I want to keep on, but I want to get it done. And so if that's all right with you, so then we have this in hand. If you would take that, do they sign their name?
Yes.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Towards.
Well, I guess if this is in there, if they, oh yeah, that'd be for I, Kurt Jacobson. Okay. Yeah, I'll be all right. This is good because this is what doesn't happen. I want this to happen. So that's my deal is, okay, so, you know, I, Kurt Jacobson, pledge, you know, so much money towards the media project. I will have my pledge in by, and so that's what I'm talking about, the 2-month deal and stuff. Kids, if the kids, you know, talking about $25, $50, if everyone is taking a part in it, it'll also benefit them to build faith, all right? Okay, well, thank you very much on that. We have a great word coming from David Lyon. He's going to be sharing some real important principles and also what's going to be happening here in the next season of time as far as with the Bible College and different things. I don't know how far he's going to get into that, but would you come? Let's give David a high five in Jesus' name. Bless you, David. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, here you go.
Well, I've got a transition here just for a couple minutes, so let's stand to our feet. I want to plug this in and get a few other things going. The Bible says that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Self-edification, nothing wrong with that when it's biblical. I think we should all pray in tongues every day. It says we pray according to the will of God. So some people in unlearned fashion say, well, what good is it if there's no interpretation? Well, there's two usages of the gift of tongues. One is for private edification, where you pray and you build up yourself, the Bible says, in your most holy faith, and you pray according to the will of God for your life. And then the other is for public edification, where there will be a interpretation of the tongue to edify all. So there's two uses. Publicly and privately. You're going to take a private time right now to edify yourself and break up the fallow ground of your life. So why don't you go ahead and just start praying in tongues while I get plugged in here. Love it. We're doing good. We're doing good. Now, if you got your Bible, why don't you go ahead and grab it? If not, grab your phone, because a lot of people have their Bibles on their phones. And let's just go ahead and lift it high and say, this is my Bible. It is the inerrant word of God. It's the cause of my convictions and the course for my conduct. God is all that it says he is. And I'm all that it says that I am. And God can still do all that it says he can do. And I can do all that it says that I can do. So today, I'm going to lift high the wonderful word of God. And I'm not going to be just a hearer, but a doer of this word and of its work. And in so doing, I shall be blessed, and I shall be a blessing. Why don't you turn to two or three people and tell them you are a blessing. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Amen. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the ABCs of Mother's Day. We just had that. The ABCs are three guys' name of Abe, Brian, and Carl. And, you know, they felt like they had fallen a little short on Mother's Day with blessing their mother. So they all got together and said, next year, let's really do it up big for Mom. And they were men of means. So the first guy, Abe, decided what he was going to do is hire a limousine driver to drive Mom around wherever she wanted to go, which is a great gift. But the trouble is, Mom never wanted to really go anywhere. So she was like, well, you know, thanks, but you can go. I'm not really going anywhere right now. And then Brian, he thought it would be great, you know, to see, what was it that Brian did again? Oh, yeah, he was going to have somebody come in and clean her house for her. But she says, I never move or do anything. How'd it get dirty? So, you know, she more or less dismissed him. But Carl, he decided, well, you know, Mom's probably lonely. I'm going to do something really special for her, you know. So he got a hold of this parrot. And he had some linguistic experts and other people, pet trainers, teach the Bible to this parrot. And this parrot could talk, so they thought this would be great. Mom can just have Bible verses coming out of this parrot. So Carl got a letter, or they all got a letter, and it was Mother's way of saying thanks. And she says, you know, I really appreciate what you boys did, but Abe's gift, you know, truthfully, I didn't even use it. I wasn't really going anywhere. And Brian's gift, that was nice too. I appreciated that, but I never really mess up the house or go anywhere. But said, Carl, that little chicken you got me, that was sure tasty. And you know, sometimes what happens is, and I told that to say this, sometimes we have things in our midst and we don't even know what we have. And as a result, sometimes we have these things sitting around our house, and we're not really sure what we have. Well, we know as a Christian, it's a good book, we should read it, and we get into the habit of that, but most of our life's practices are inconsistent, and then we have inconsistencies in our lives, you know. And so today, I want to not just talk to you about the upcoming School of Ministry and fill you in on how that's working, but I also want to talk to you today and minister to your heart about the importance of God's Word in your life. Before we proceed with that, I'd like to welcome you all here today, but I'd like to welcome those of you that are watching us here within the United States and really from around the world. I just had an email from someone from Canada that said they were going to be joining us in the service today, so we welcome you as well. And I'd just like to say, if we're blessing you and you feel blessed with the word that you're receiving here when you tune into these services, why don't you be a part of what's going on here? Get involved, send your best gift, and help us to get these cameras so that we can reach others besides yourself. And you'll be a part of that, and God will make sure you have your reward as well. So thank you for that. So when we look at the Word of God, sometimes we have to study it with that six things the journalists ask us to, and they learn early on, is the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. Do you ever read a passage of scripture and then just decide that you're just going to meditate on that? So the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. So let's begin by applying these to our main thought of the day. If you have your Word of God with you, and I hope you do, let's go over to Genesis 1:1. Since we're talking about the importance of God's Word in our life, that's a good place to start. Book of Beginnings. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and most of us are familiar with the rest of the scripture passages there. But the first four words in the Bible are, in the beginning God. Now this describes the who. And the next verse, we're told the what. What did God do? God created. In the beginning, God created. Well, where did he create? Well, that was a strange place. He had a thing called the void. He had a, it was just nothingness. And there are eight Hebrew words for the word void. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that word void is boohoo, B-O-H-O-O. It's not like boohoo crying. It's, it could be depending on the way things are going. But it means empty. In the beginning, there is nothingness. There is a void. It was empty. The word desolate, vacant. Oddly enough, I don't know how this turned in here, but having no zeal, no force, or no effect. Ooh, now we're getting a little close to the way some of us might feel sometime. Do you ever feel as a Christian empty inside? Do you ever feel desolate? Where's the fruit? Do you ever feel vacant? Something missing inside of me. I know I've got Jesus in my heart, but I still feel like there's this spot that has the shape that's not quite got the piece in there that is really needs to be there. And sometimes our zeal sort of goes. Sometimes we feel like we've got no power, no effect. But interestingly enough, the word void is also found in Isaiah 55:11, which says, God's word shall not return void. That is, it's a different word, but it carries with it the same thought and the same meaning, beginning being this, not able to accomplish. In other words, God's word shall not return void. In other words, God's word will be able to accomplish. God's word will be able to create. God's word, oh, I love this, is able to fulfill its purpose. You cannot fulfill your purpose in life outside of the usage of God's word in your life. It's not going to happen. You will never fulfill your purpose as a person, first of all, without a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, and a relationship with the Creator who created you and who said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the plans that I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, the one that said, I knitted you in your mother's womb, I fashioned you with a plan and a purpose for your life. The one who did that, you will never know nor fulfill your purpose in life without a relationship with your Creator God. Amen. So we see here that God, in the midst of this, it says God's word shall not return void. So in this void that originally started was in out of this emptiness was purpose. When? Well, this is the point in time. Since time did not yet come into play, we're simply told it was in the beginning. You know, see, time is something we came up with. 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years. With God, what is time? You know, it's like, I can't remember that exact joke, but when, somebody said, hey, God, how long? The bottom line is God said, wait a minute, and nothing means time to him. So that minute could have been 1,000 years, it could have been whatever, you know. So we get pretty caught up on time because we're finite and God's infinite. And we have to remember that and be about what God wants us to do because we only have a limited number of days to do it. You know, I really don't have a problem with the devil, you know, and neither should us, any of us, if we know who we are in Christ. We should be devil dominators. But the biggest thing that my problem is with my watch and my calendar. Always just trying to put things in there and have enough time, it seems, you know. But God, in the beginning, that's when this all started. Genesis, so the who, what, where, when was the beginning. God tells us that along with this void, there was darkness. And there comes a time in our lives, even as Christians, where we may feel desolate, empty, numb, no zeal, no passion, no energy or power. We're not accomplishing much. We're not sure. We're sure not creating anything. If you don't have much zeal, much power, and you feel numb, you're not going to be creating anything. You're just going to be glad to get through the day. And we're sure as heck not fulfilling our purpose for our time here in the earth that we've been given. And yeah, sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we even get broken. Sometimes we get angry or just become numb. And we say, this is what I'm going to do or not do with my life or in my service to God and call upon my life. And it keeps us from getting re-hurt, drawing those boundary lines. Or from coming back into the crosshairs of the critics, perhaps who took so much out of us out of the years. But what we actually did was find a place of peace with the devil, where we won't attempt anything with the idea he'll just leave me alone. And then it becomes an unholy alliance without a reliance any longer upon God. And meantime, the devil will still plan on stealing and killing and destroying in your life, because that's what he does. That's his nature. That is all he can do. And when that next heartbreak of life arrives, you'll find yourself void of any spiritual power to do anything about it, because you've been living in the comfort zone. And the person you once were, the victor, is now living their life as the victim that was never your potential nor your purpose in life as a child of God, one who's been chosen and appointed into service. So let me tell you something, man of God, woman of God, listen today. Those that left you, those that talked about you, were never with you to begin with. They were with themselves. They couldn't stay with you. They couldn't run with you. So they left. Jesus had a big following, fed them loaves and fishes, but he says, you're about the food. And then he said, when it all, the feeding for you stopped and you had to give back, then you left. But you know, our nation's military, with its elite soldiers, it gets fewer and fewer and fewer the harder the training gets, but more and more effective with the end result. I'd rather have one Navy SEAL with me than 10 guys that work in the kitchen. No offense to the people that work in the kitchen, but if it's time to throw down, I'm going to want somebody that knows how to throw down, you know? I remember when I'd go hunting with this one guy when I was pastoring out in Minot, North Dakota, and he got in a pretty bad accident in the wintertime, and we got to the hospital, and I walked through the door, and he said, my pastor's here. He says, I didn't need a hunting buddy to walk through the door. I needed a man of God. And you see, that's who you are. You're a co-worker, but you're a man of God on assignment. You're a woman of God on assignment. You know, where I work, I'm in a particular heavily trafficked area, and I have about 8 people sometimes a day will stop by. Hey, could you pray for my wife? She's going to be getting brain. And I'm thinking, I don't have a sign there that says prayer's being taken, you know, or anything. You know, it's just, yeah, well, it might slow business down. But the thing is, you know, it's just like God knows where you are, how to get to you. You just got to be open to him. And that, so, they never left you. What these people did is they left their assignment. And what they did is secondary. What happens in your life, the losses, the pain, is all secondary before God, because what is important to him is how are you going to respond? How will you get better instead of bitter? How will you, the stumbling blocks of life going to turn into building blocks for you? Like, God may not be pleased with what they did, but the Bible says God will do 3 things. Life will do 3 things. There's test, there's trials, and temptations. The devil comes with temptations to try to get us out of the will of God for our life. People will try you, and all that does is really reveal areas of growth. But God will test you. He will prove you. And if you don't pass the test, then time will go by, years sometimes, and you'll find yourself coming back around to a retest. And I don't want to keep never getting past the same thing and then dying and say, I never caught on to that one. You know. So we have to realize that the same how of Genesis is going to be our how of climbing out of our spiritual voids. Well, how in Genesis did God create? We know this in Genesis 1. We still see the seven words seven times, and God said. That's why I was somewhat smiling when you were sharing today, man of God, is about how the young lady was talking about speaking the word of God. And I thought, well, Lord, you're just interweaving part of the message with what's going on in the service. And I love when the Lord does that, because it's a good confirmation God's at work and trying to get a point across. Our words are so powerful, and we know that, but we forget that. And we've got to, what if, you know, you ever that story about King Midas, where everything he touched turned to gold, touch your loved ones, they turn to gold, but what if everything we said came to pass? I mean, everything. You woke up today and I say, I feel like garbage. Poof. Wife comes looking for you, it's just a bag of garbage standing there. And, you know? What if everything we said, and in a sense, that's why God can't trust some of us. Because our words are not taken seriously enough. So, God uses the word of his power to create. God uses the word of his power to create. Now, what I just said there probably was missed by everybody in this room and probably those listening. That simple statement I just said was probably missed because people are used to hearing it as the power of God's word. And that is right. There is power in God's word, but that's not how it works. I like to know how things work. I used to get watches, take them apart, never could get them back together. I'd get a hold of my folks' alarm clock and why are all these parts all over the place? This thing, well, I'd make a mobile out of it and hang it in my room, balance them out. It looked pretty cool, all these little gears and things. Didn't help them wake up in the morning, but I tried to make lemonade out of lemons. But anyway, they weren't too impressed, nor were they art appreciates. Anyway. But what I just said here is this. There is no power without there first being a word. And that's what we have to remember, is that's why it's so important for people to learn the word of God. Because if they don't have the right word, they won't have the right power. If they have no word, they'll have no power. If you tell somebody, and there's incorrect word too, well, the apostle is past, the age of the apostles over, and some denominations sincerely believe that. The only trouble is then we have to start cutting out passages of scripture that says that we're perfected through the fivefold or the ascension gifts ministry, one of which is the apostolic gift and the prophetic. And just because we don't understand it doesn't mean we should reject it or say it doesn't exist. Maybe we should just give ourselves to learning and understand more about it and then benefit from that and have the power of that word working in our life. So Hebrews 1:3 uses the term the word of his power. Not the power of his word. It's backwards. The word of his power. You say, well, you're splitting hairs here. I, as a bald guy, I should really be one to split hairs. No, the thing about it is it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the little things we miss, the little things we do wrong. And so it's the word of his power. Why? Because, like I said, there's no power in our lives until there's first the word of God in our lives, and that's why it's so important. And there's no creative power being released into our lives, no power to accomplish anything. Remember the void? No power or ability to fulfill your purpose in life until we first begin to speak God's word. The best thing you can do is speak God's word over your children and over your marriage and over your finances. Whatever you want to see created, God's word has creative power. So you cannot speak God's word into your life unless you first know God's word. Thus, we've been led of the Lord here at Community Church International and through United Team International Ministerial Fellowship. Thus, we've been led of the Lord to begin to establish an international Bible literacy and leadership training, which we have a vision not just locally, but for many sites, as the Lord would give us geographical spheres of influence, some of them coming into your country, known as the United International Network of Christian Colleges. Because here's the thing, we would assume before everybody was a Christian in North America. You can't assume that anymore. We have a synergistic faith, which means, well, I'm a Christian, but I do like a little bit of the Baha'i, and I do like a little bit of the Muslim, and I do like a little bit. And so I'm just going to adopt a belief system that's synergistic. In other words, it just takes the best out of everything, but that's going to rob the Word of God, and it will pollute your Christianity. And so the idea being that United Team International and Community Church International have a international network, and they will work together of Christian colleges. We'll just call it UINCC. So, let me tell you a bit about this opportunity being presented to both you and you that are listening today. Now, if you would like to know more about this, you can contact our administrative offices here at Community Church International, or you can go to your local church pastor, man of God, woman of God, and say, hey, I would like you to look into this for me. And we'd be happy to give more information about that. So let's take a look at this. I'm going to switch over now to some things here. The United Team International. Some of you that attend here know all about it. Some of you have never even heard about it. What it is this. United Team International, or UTI, is an international, non-denominational, it's multifaceted ministerial fellowship that has united under the leadership of its founder, our apostle, our pastor, Curtis Jacobson, senior pastor of Community Church International here in Thief River Falls. And God has allowed us to have geographical spheres of influences in other ministers, men and women of God's lives in other nations. So this United Team has come together, and we're presenting the United International Network of Christian Colleges. UINCC is a global outreach of the United Team International Ministerial Fellowship, who have purpose to establish strategic Christian education and leadership training institutes throughout the various nations of the earth. The Bible said, go into all the world and make disciples. Well, the old way that they used to do it is they would jump on a ship, they'd go to Africa, which they would call the missionary's graveyard, and you never hear from them again. That was one way of doing it. Probably was effective for its time. Probably would be very ineffective now. You could jump on a plane now instead of a boat. Much more effective. And you could probably even come back alive now, thanks to modern medicine. You know? But that's one way of doing it. The other is you could spend thousands of dollars to go to another country, and don't get me wrong, it's okay to go sometime if that's where the Lord's leading you. But there's an old saying, some were sent and some just went. I don't want to be the guy that's sent if I'm going to spend that much money, not just the guy that went. And so I think to myself, if I had $6,000, because that was about what it cost my wife and I the first time I ever went to Africa back in the 80s, about $6,000, went for a month and wasn't sure if the Lord was leading us to stay there or not, but it was wonderful. But I thought, what would $6,000 buy now? Probably a whole lot of camera equipment, where instead of a one-time trip for a month, we could keep going every week, just like we are right now. So you can work harder, you can work smart, you can, and I say, let's do both. But the smarter you work, the less hard you have to work. And I'm all good with that, too. And so what we're looking at is some partnerships and affiliations and some accreditations. We're working and looking into these right now. So what we're looking at is UINCC is currently a self-accredited institute of higher education, but we're actively pursuing additional accreditations with the following non-governmental accreditation agencies. the National Association of Private Theological Institutions, the Association of Independent Colleges and Seminaries, the American Federation of Colleges and Seminaries, as well as the Evangelical Training Association. We're also pursuing institutional memberships and certification memberships with the American Association of Higher Education and Accreditation, the National Bible College Association, the Global Christian School Network, the Association of Christian Distance Learning, and finally, the Academic Council of Education and Accountability. Now, why is it that I said that we're self-accredited at this point in time? Well, let's talk a little bit about accreditation, because here's the interesting thing I've found from being an educator over the years. I've had Bible schools before, Bible colleges that I've chancellored, and people come and you have the school, and the first thing they ask you is, are you accredited? And you go, yes, and they walk away. Oh, that's great. But I always figured, like, people's thinking is a lot like baking. You have layer cakes, and some people just want to stay in the first layer all the time. You're accredited. Yeah, okay, good. But the next layer of thinking would be to ask the question, with who? So some people say, well, you know, are you with the USDE? What is the USDE? It's the United States Department of Education. And a lot of people think, well, unless you have an accreditation that can transfer to the United States Department of Education, it's not going to really do you much good. And there are going to be major universities that will not accept this, and we don't really care, and I'll tell you why. The primary reason an academic institution may desire to be accredited by a governmental accrediting agency, such as the United States Department of Education, or the USDE, is to obtain their seal of approval. So this government accrediting then makes these academic institutions eligible to apply to receive federal and state government funding for its institutions or college. So basically, it all comes down to the money. Show me the money. I want to get accredited through the USDEA because we'll be available to get government money. But how many of you know the government will never give you something without wanting something back? So in many instances, in exchange for these funds, these academic institutions must then enter into an agreement with the federal or state governments to adopt and convey secular and humanistic theological stances within its curriculum, which in many instances are not in agreement with traditional Judeo-Christian values, nor the biblical theological stances of many private Christian education institutions, such as Christian schools, Bible colleges, as well as many mainstream Bible-believing churches. So for this reason, the Governing Board of the United International Network of Christian Colleges, which is a private, self-funding network of Christian colleges, has agreed not to seek, nor pursue, nor to accept federal or state government accreditation in exchange for their secular mandates and in exchange for their funding. So, let me say this too. Prior to the United States federal government stepping in to regulate education, and how many of you know when the United States government gets a hold of something, it always just improves, right? Less bureaucracy, less spending. I'll hold it. I had a moment there, I was delusional. But prior to this formation of the USDEA, now this formulated October 17th, 1979. I don't know how old you were at the time, but I was still alive. 1979 is when the USDEA was formed. America at that time was ranked number 6 in the world for education. Since that time, where the USDEA came in to make sure everything was going to be better, today America is ranked far below its former ranking at number 27 in the world for education. We dropped 21 countries, 21 scores for educational excellence. So, I wrote in here, with this undeniable, dismal failure of educational oversight, the question thus must be asked. Why would any credible education system, desirous to convey Christian values while maintaining high standards of educational excellence, even consider submitting itself to a subpar, ever-increasing anti-Christian accrediting agency who has self-proclaimed itself to be the national standards for excellence in education, when in fact all evidence has shown them to be just the opposite? The answer is clearly it would not, and neither will we. So that's why we're seeking out these relationships with these other accrediting agencies that are non-governmental, but which in fact have higher standards than governmental agencies, and which maintain and hold to the values which we hold being our Judeo-Christian values and the truths of the Word of God. All right. So now getting into some of the courses and classes. It's basically a 36-week school of ministry and leadership. It has five semesters. It has brought together some of the greatest teachers in the world, some of which you have heard, some of which you have not. Some of you have heard John Bevere, Joyce Myers, and some others like this. These are some of the people that comprise the faculty. Let me just give you, if I could, semester one's courses. Foundations of Faith, Supernatural Living, New Testament Survey, then on to Praise and Worship, The Fear of the Lord with John Bevere, and that basically would be your semester one. Then you move on to The Power of Prayer, Ministry of Helps with the gentleman I worked with down in Oklahoma, Old Testament Survey, going on to Essence of the Gospel, Jesus Our Healer Today, and Living by Faith. Then you're going to get church-based training, Model for Ministry, cell groups, and so on like this. That's a great thing for many of our minister friends that are utilizing these, particularly overseas, where they're so effective. Power Evangelism, Reinhard Bonnke. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he was the first man that we knew of, outside of maybe Jesus, that preached to over 1 million people in Africa. You say, well, how is that possible? We used the speaker system. Okay, and leaders' integrity, leadership vision, church planting, being led by the Spirit. And then there's promise keepers for the men. Altar calls. I think that we've sort of lost that art of the altar call to some degree. At that point in time, you will have earned a certificate of ministry, and there will be a time during our church service where we will present those certificates to our students, as will others in their church services. And the beautiful thing about that, it not only recognizes their accomplishments to date, but allows them to invite friends and family and relatives that normally wouldn't come to church, but because you had a special occasion where you were being recognized, they would come, and they have an opportunity now to receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's a good evangelism tool there for you. And also, ministers, it's a good opportunity to get people into your church that wouldn't normally come as well. So it's a real win-win all the way through. And then we get into Joyce Myers talking about wilderness mentalities. And then we have Brian Houston from the Hillsongs Church talking about developing leaders. I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better than that. It might, but hard-pressed to do so. Then you have cell group leaders, Ministry of Reconciliation, Personal Evangelism, Spiritual Warfare, Authority and Forgiveness, Spiritual Breakthrough, The Christ Connection, Living to Give, Biblical Eldership, Reaching a New Generation, Managing for Tomorrow. So by then, I think it's over 100 hours of instruction is what you're going to be receiving in 33 to 36 different courses within that first year. Amazing, really. So at that point in time, you'll have received your certificate of ministry. You can make application for your associate of ministry degree. So when you're finished this first part of the schooling, these 5 weeks, you will have earned your associate of ministry degree. Then you can make applications for your bachelor's of ministry. And that will also be taking place with our what we would call second year students, but simultaneously on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, because you'll have your first year students getting their information, but on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, you'll have your second year students doing their bachelor courses, receiving some instruction on site as well. I mean, you can do more than one Zoom conference at a time to the same location. And then from there, you can move on to your Master of Ministry degrees. And with that, there comes different modules. So now I'm just going to wind this up with this. We do have our start dates. On Thursday, August 26th, 2021. We're in 2021 right now, I think, aren't we? I'm in the right year. Perfect. It's always good to be in the same page with everybody. It's the start. It's going to mark the official launch of the North American United International Network of Christian Colleges. There's going to be a school orientation meeting here and in other of our extension sites. They will, and I'll be working with them and the pastor, to work with their on-site facilitators. And at that time, they're going to get their student manuals. They'll get their class syllabuses. Questions will be answered, and they'll get to begin to meet some of the people they'll be going to school with. With a conveyance of the broader spectrum and the scope and the impact of the United International Network of Christian Colleges, I like to look at it as being one college with many sites or many extension sites. So we do have times where we have on our calendar spiritual emphasis night where we're not actually having classes that particular night, but we're going to have guest speakers come in and minister to all the different students, and the students can ask questions and different things like this of the speaker. But we do have one time in which it's going to be a night of testimonies of triumph, and every affiliation site, every extension site through its facilitator, we'll have some students ready to share their testimonies, and we'll have people from here sharing testimonies with people in other countries and hearing from them, and it'll be a great night of edification, because we're one Bible college, if you would, but many sites. And a lot of churches have applied that to their own particular growth model. Instead of trying to build one big superstructure, they say, okay, we're going to go into this community, this church is going to be a part of ours, and extension and extension and extension. So it's one church, many sites. It's the same thought with the School of Ministry. But we actually will start then on the first class will be August 31st, semester one, week one of 6 weeks. So that will go on. We're going to have these. Now, we get down to what is this going to cost? Well, there's usually the rub, isn't it? What's this going to cost? There we go. The cost is going to be $1,800 per year for a student. Now, that was a little tough one to get to. You know, that's a lot of money. Not when you consider the affiliation fees and everything we have to pay to work with these other colleges and things like this and the curriculum. So you divide that by 36 weeks, that's $50 a week. That's what we had mentioned, it's going to be $50 a week. So we kept our word on that. So there's going to be 6 classes of instruction per week. That's $8.33 per class. I know some people will go to the movies and spend more than that for just popcorn. And they don't have anything to show for it at the end. So with that, you're going to get world-class instructors. You'll have your student syllabuses. That'll save you a lot of notes. In-depth instruction in 38 courses and topics of study. Approximately 100 hours of classroom instruction. That's going to include your enrollment and tuition fees. There will be an on-site facilitator to assist you. We also have the ability to assist you if you miss a class. We have a site you can go to and take that class to make up for it. Now, there still is an attendance ratio that you need to be there in order to graduate, so don't think I'm going to miss a whole bunch of classes and then I'm going to just pass. It's there for those times in case. And if there is a situation arises, we will work with you in other ways as well with respect to your attendance, because we're not under the law. We're under grace. We're here to help you and see you succeed, okay? And so we have that. We have between class refreshments, you know, coffee and Christians. They both start with C. Post-class question and answer sessions, as well as ministry prayer times. Access to our special guest speakers via the spiritual emphasis evenings. You will get your certificate and diplomas in addition to your graduating exercises. You'll have your hat, your gown. You get to keep your cap, your tassel. And you'll also get a diploma, and you will get your diploma cover sheet. And then what we're going to give you at the end is, when you need it, your complimentary student transcript. And those usually get expensive, particularly if after a lot of years you're asking for one. We'll give you a complimentary one you can keep with you as well. So, I mean, for $8.33, I think you can't go wrong. So there's where we're at. If you'd like some more information, there will be, after final editing, I'm sure, information on the screen where you can contact. We'd love to talk to you about that. And there's where we're at with respect to the United International Network of Christian Colleges. Did that help some of you to sort of get a bigger picture? Awesome. Okay. Now, the last question, and I'm going to finalize this message, is the who, what, where, when, why, and the how. We talked about the how he speaks his word, and then power is released, how we speak words. But let's look at the why real quick. Why would God set this up to work like this? Why would the Lord have this happen? Well, number one, he loves you. John 3:16. You know, for no other reason, for God so loved the world, that would be you. God so loved you. So he set it up so that you could change your world by changing your words. So, but you get, before you change your word, you got to change your mind. See, the reason you're speaking is wrong is because your thinking's wrong. But when you get the word of God in, it'll transform your thinking, transform the way you speak and what you have in life. And then next, God set that up because 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says he wouldn't have us to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Well, Paul didn't like ignorant brethren, and I'm not so sure they're fun to get along with either. So this way here, just because we may be ignorant doesn't mean we have to stay ignorant. We can learn. And they're unlearned, unaware, unskillful. It doesn't mean ignorant. They're just unaware. Why don't we know some things we've never been told? Here's your opportunity to come and be told and get more skillful in the Word of God. Thirdly, it's part of his mandate, Matthew 28:19, go into all the world, make disciples, mature believers in Christ. You know, as I get older, I remember when I was in Africa, some people, like, they were like, hey, we're going to go out into the bush. I'd be like, well, tell them I'm here in the city in the air conditioning. I mean, one of us has got to move. Might as well be them. If one of us has to be uncomfortable, might as well be them. They're used to the heat. I'm not. You know, I mean, malaria, it's okay, but I'm here. And here's the thing, if they're going to make the effort to get where I'm at, God's going to move because he's going to honor their faith, as opposed to me going and they don't care one way. Maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. Sometimes you have to make it hard, a little harder on people. Jesus did that. He could have done a lot of things easy, but he made it a little bit harder on people. After he prayed for them, go show yourself to the priest. Why? I don't want to go there. They'll say I'm unclean. Well, don't go then. But I bet a lot of them were healed on the way there. Okay, and lastly, I believe it was because, and this is why I believe the Lord would have us to do this as a ministerial fellowship and as a local church. I believe it was because our man of God, our apostle, Pastor Jake, I believe that both he and Pastor Sandy have been faithful. I remember someone telling me that the Lord asked you, just be faithful. You've been faithful. People could judge all they want about this, about that, this result, that result. The truth of the matter remains, you're still here, you're faithful. To do what God sent him to do. The Lord told him to be faithful in the work, and he has been. Has it always been easy? Is being faithful easy? No. Is it always prosperous? No. Is it always joyful? No. Has it cost you something? It's cost you everything. Everything. You know what I've seen from church history? Any man or woman that has ever done anything great for God has paid that same price. It's cost them everything. But what we give to God, he gives to us, and he's got more everything than we do. Two things the Lord said about faithfulness, then we're going to pray and dismiss. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And why does God do that? Because he knows when he blesses faithful men, they in turn bless others. So God's time for you to not just be blessed, but to now even more so be a greater blessing than you've been in all your former years. Wow. And then, why? Matthew 25:21 describes the faithfulness principle. Because thou hast been faithful over a little, I shall make you ruler over much. It's the faithfulness principle. So let's close with this thought that nothing will be created within your life without you first releasing God's word into your situation and the inerrant power within that word to manifest your purpose in life. Let's realize how powerful our words are. Let's realize how God looks at faithfulness, and that's qualified us to be at this point where we are now. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Diane, my wife, did not come today. Normally, she's always here. She's very faithful in that. She wasn't feeling well. So that sort of bothered me on the way here. Not that she wasn't feeling well. It sort of bothered me that the devil would just really try that. And I thought of the Roman centurion. So while we were praising and worshiping God, I was speaking, and I said, Lord, I send your word that when I get home, she's going to be healed. I just and you know what? I want to just encourage you, just take a moment right now. Let the Holy Spirit show you a situation you need to speak into. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's health. Maybe it has to do with this school of ministry. Maybe it has to do with you watching today and saying, I live close enough to get to that local church. I need to just start being there. You know, I would rather, if I needed a bath, I'd rather go into the bath than sit and watch it on TV. I get much more benefit out of it by being in it than watching it. So if you can participate, we invite you to come here and join us Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. If you're watching online, where we're going to be back next week, continue to just partake and be blessed by this. But we want to encourage you to participate as well. We want you to just let the Holy Spirit show you what you need to speak into. Maybe it's a new job, and you need to call that new job into creation. Maybe it's a wayward child. I sent some mamas you're watching, and you've got wayward children, and you need to call them back into the kingdom of God and the things of God. Some of you have sickness and you've been putting up with it and putting up with it, and it's time to say, no! Devil, go! In Jesus' name. Why are you raising your voice? Well, because I'm excited for one thing, and the other is the devil is not nice, and sometimes you got to speak to him like a dirty pig in your house or animal you don't want there, and they won't leave if you ask them nicely. Oh, please stop tearing up my house. Please. No. Sometimes you just got to open the door, grab him by the scruff of the neck like I did the cat the other day, and out he goes. He's not going to act like that in my house. He's lucky if he gets back in. So I love him. He's okay. A little pain in the butt, that thing is. But anyway, Lord, we love you.
Yeah.
We thank you. Kings and priests unto our God, and where the word of a king is, there's power. So let us wake up and think different from your word. Let's speak different. Let's live different. Let's get different results. Let the passion of heaven come back into us. Put fire back in our bones, God. Let us realize our best days are upon us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And you know what? You're going to get more answers from God if you'll stop asking once you've asked and just start thanking, thanking, thanking as though it's been done, calling those things that be not as though they are. There's another little nugget for you. Well, man of God, I'm going to hand this microphone back to you, and you take us on into glory and on out of here, wherever you want to do.
All right. Thank you so very much. So very much. I think that this is a good opportunity, especially for those that are watching, whether it be on Zoom or Facebook, this would be a good area that you can go through. It gives you a lot of information on the Bible College, and I just want you to remember Zoom, because it's Bible College Zoom, and so that Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to have all of that, and hopefully that we'll be able to pick up Africa to Panama, to Nicaragua, to El Salvador, and then to Thief River Falls and Canada. We're real excited about Canada with Marcel because there's about 60-some reserves right there ready to do something with this. And if they'd have an opportunity to sign up and do something, we all meet together at the same time.
I was going to mention, Pastor, is the fact that this is a logistics challenge with respect to not everybody's on the central time zone, much less in the same hemisphere. And so what we're going to be setting up is international directors who will be able to record what we do and then show it in their time frame as well. So some of you that we have relationship, we will be reaching out to. But some of you in the sound of this voice may wish to get in touch with us, and we'll talk about the possibility of establishing you working with this organization and us working with you.
All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate that so much. David's placed so much time, effort, and information into this Bible College. I'm real excited about it because it doesn't... It brings us out of ourselves into a bigger picture, and then our voices can be heard. And I know that many people have went on a mission field, and you've met people that you're very close to. And so this is just another opportunity that we can get close to the people that, and I've talked even in Africa, and I'm finding out a lot of Bible colleges close down in the United States, or at least even in our area, and they're thinking about, because it's a bigger picture, instead of saying, well, we have a Bible college at our church, which we did for 13 years. So this is a much more exciting picture as far as I'm concerned, because you're going to be working with all these folks. And we've known Marcel for 40 years, and we'll get to work with him until he goes home, or Jesus closes it all down or opens it all up. So appreciate you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May your next week be so fantastic that you'll say, it could only be God that gives me that type of week. Again, I did fill out my paper, and I filled it out, and I wanted to go July 4th for what I wanted to put in, because that'd be Independence Day. Then I'll be independent from that, unless I re-sign up, but for the sound equipment stuff. And let's just believe God that it's going to be a fast work. We're going to see it done, because it will go all over the world. as we've indicated by the equipment that we're going to have. So God bless him. May he be with you this next week in a major way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.